Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 597. Science Faction, Multiple Sclerosis Mystery Solved, and the Great Pig Hearted.
I want to be honest with you, the new season of SVU is getting really out there. The cases that they take, I don't feel are drawn from the headlines, as they like to advertise.
Though somebody having sex with a pig heart has absolutely happened on that show in 20 years. It's been on for like 25 years.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the Republicans are right. You legalize gay marriage 1 year, people are going to start having sex with pig hearts the next year.
If it didn't happen on the show, some just absolutely despicable fan has drawn some fan art of Jerry Auerbach just like fucking a cow's heart at some point.
You could tell the last time Bobby had cable with the show's been on for like 25 years. Jerry Auerbach, I don't think, has been on the show. He's been dead for quite a long time.
Yeah, from fucking so many cow hearts.
Also, Bobby, I said SVU. I think we'd be talking about Ice-T, maybe Belzer, Richard Belzer.
That's true. Cow heart killer.
Yeah, I think he was killed with the cow heart. Yeah.
And I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damian Mercado. Damian, how are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing great. I actually got a message from one of our Science Faction Patreons. Turns out that like you're like the Republican father.
Okay.
Who's like, oh, I don't want my kids going to college and getting brainwashed. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out one of our Science Faction Patreons, Joel, a.k.a. Riggins, found his way over to Awful Neutral. And it turns out that all the close-minded bigotry he was hearing from his Republican father, Bobby, was wrong.
Now I'm going to have to disinherit Riggins, even though he drives a GTI, which I approve of. I am now anti-Riggins. That's the deal. Once you go over there, you are not allowed back here for Christmas dinner. Your grandmother would be turning in her grave.
If any of you would like to not be welcome at Christmas dinner because you're dreading conversations with your racist pod daddy, Bobby, then come on over to Awful Neutral. We're a live play Dungeons & Dragons podcast. As a matter of fact, so go ahead and start yourself on some Hell Frasier. It's a little game we played based on the television series Frasier. And if you're a fan of the show, it's the closest thing you're going to come to a reboot for a while. As a matter of fact, Bobby, that's what Riggins said. He said, quote unquote, that cow has plenty left to give, meaning keep doing those Hell Frasiers.
No, it means that somebody's going to fuck your heart to death.
Yes, you can't transplant a cow heart, Bobby, but I do have cow udders surgically attached to me.
By the by, speaking of our Patreons, I'm going to be doing something this year where I'm going to release some of our back Patreons from last year sporadically onto the main feed. No rhyme, reason, warning. It's going to be random days, random times. It's not going to be predictable. Just so those of you guys who don't get
our
Patreons.
Keep Alex Jones guessing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I just want those of you guys who aren't Patreons to get a kind of a little bit of a taste of what our Patreons get every single week, and hopefully you like that, and then you decide you want to be a Patreon too. So, sporadically, if you see an episode that seems like it's like not ordered with the same Science Faction numbering system, if you see a random one that says Patreon in the title, then you guys are getting a free Patreon. Congratulations. Thank the Patreons.
Thank the Patreons. They deserve it. They're the real heroes. But you know the real heroes? The people who listen to Dungeons & Dragons podcasts, like Awful Neutral.
That would be heroic. That would be heroic because it's so nerdy and bad that just listening to it has actually been considered community service in certain jurisdictions.
It's nerdy, but actually really good because it has some of the funniest people Bobby and I know on it. However, if you think the love of your outdated Republican, Trump-loving pod daddy Bobby is worth more than treating yourself to comedy, then you probably shouldn't listen to Awful Neutral. But if you don't hate yourself...
Yep, you heard him, everybody.
No, stop, no!
Even he can't defend the horrible shit he's putting out. Don't listen to it under any circumstances. Let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
It should also be said that Bobby said he would show up on the Unawful Neutral if we could reach 10,000 subscribers. So yes. Come on over and hit subscribe.
Yes, per day.
If only to out of spite for Bobby.
Yes. All right. So article number one, the cause of MS discovered.
The cause of Microsoft was discovered, wasn't it, to counter Apple?
Virginity.
Excuse me, who needs sex? I know MS-DOS.
Dude, if Bill Gates was getting laid at 14, we would not have Microsoft right now, for sure.
Yeah. So you're saying like the easiest way to change Bill Gates fast would be like to send a Will Smith Hitch like character back into.
I mean, if we're really talking about the end of the world, I suppose we could just dispense with social norms and send a prostitute. Ironically, it's also Will Smith.
It's the take a man, give a man. Like if you give an awkward autistic Bill Gates sex with a prostitute at 16, 18, 17, you're just going to get a weird, creepy dude who's obsessed with porno. You're like, don't get me wrong. He'll probably invent a better.
You get Willow Smith, actually. That explains so much.
Bobby. She's like 18 now. You can just, so we can like insult her. She's not like insulting a child. Like I can.
Wait.
Okay, good.
Is Willow the boy?
No.
Oh man,
the boy. I forgot the boy.
Jaden. All right, that's even weirder.
I don't normally hate a child, but every time I hear Jaden, like a quote from Jaden, I'm like, I hate this child. Like I don't know. I don't normally hate children, but here I am.
So this is, in my mind, far and away the biggest science news story of the week. Should have gotten way more coverage in major kind of mainstream, non-necessarily science journal, just like you know your average news sites. Huge, huge deal, which is we believe we have actually found the cause of multiple sclerosis.
Because it's a Microsoft product, though, it's usually just usually you open the wrong email.
Yeah.
Like,
And it used to be that you bought it and then you owned Word for the entire time. Now I can only buy access, for instance, to multiple sclerosis on an annual basis. And they charge me every year for my multiple sclerosis.
I didn't want to renew my subscription. They just automatically did it. I'm still shaken.
No, and if you're in a job market filling out resumes, you need that multiple sclerosis.
Listen, I've looked into some of the horrible diseases that Linux offers. And it doesn't compare.
So really cool article and one of those you wait for as a science news journalist, because this is the opening of a door that is going to completely change how we deal with multiple sclerosis from here on out. Like this is the BCAD before and after. This changes everything. So this one article likely lets us know where an entire somewhat mysterious disease comes from. And we probably haven't had epidemiological news of this import since discovering that essentially all cervical cancers come from HPV. In terms of like discovering this disease comes from this cause, probably not since we discovered, you know, cervical cancers are basically 100% dependent on HPV have we found something as neat as what I'm about to tell you about.
And just to refresh my memory and maybe some audience memories too, multiple sclerosis is an autoimmune disease, right? Where that attacks your myelin sheaths on your nerves.
That's right. Okay. And the myelin sheath is kind of like...
I knew the answer. I just wanted to show off for our fans.
Oh, I see.
While reading a Wikipedia article that, oh, God damn it.
Every once in a while, you know at least one answer.
The next sentence says birds aren't real, so I don't really know if what I read was true.
You can think of the myelin sheath as like the insulation on wires. It's like the insulation on the wires of your neurons, and that insulation is important to keep the signal from degrading as it moves across the neuron. And so when that myelin sheath goes away, the signals aren't as good, and that can eventually become fatal. I mean, it's a chronic inflammatory disease of the central nervous system, and it attacks the myelin sheath, but the symptoms can be like wide-ranging. They can include loss of sensitivity, changes in sensation. You can have like pins and needles, muscle weakness, blurred vision, muscle spasms, difficulty moving, difficulties with coordination and balance, problems with speech or swallowing, vision issues, feeling tired, acute, chronic pain, bladder and bowel difficulties. Obviously a whole bunch, but the big issue is obviously neurological stuff that can happen both in terms of mood and actual cognition. And eventually, as the central nervous system forms plaques, not unlike things like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, it also has...
Gingivitis.
It's also characterized by inflammation, and we talked about those destructions of those myelin sheaths. And it will range. You know, oftentimes people die from it. In fact, those people who are infected, even those who often will live into old age, will eventually die from complications from their MS. It's a big deal.
This just in, your nervous system, a big deal. And it turns out when your organs and bones and muscles can't talk to each other well, that just leads to a degrading of your life expectancy and quality of life.
Well, it has some interesting characteristics. It presents twice as often in women than it does in men. It presents more often the further away you get from the equator, which is kind of interesting. So let me quote to you a little bit about MS from the Science Daily article that I've been using for much of this research. Its cause is not known, yet one of the top suspects, EBV, or Epstein-Barr virus, a herpes virus that can cause infectious mononucleosis and establish a latent, lifelong infection of the host. Establishing a causal relationship between the virus and the disease has been difficult because EBV infects approximately 95% of adults. MS is a relatively rare disease, and the onset of MS symptoms begins about 10 years after EBV infection. To determine the connection between EBV and MS, the researchers conducted a study of more than 10 million young adults on active duty in the U.S. military and identified 955 who were diagnosed with MS during their period of service.
Imagine like being a immunologist who worked their whole life. You know, you're discovering you're a scientist. You're like, thank you. My name is Chris Epstein, Dr. Chris Epstein. And I found this virus that's present in all. And I think there's going to be big things one day. And then all of a sudden the Jeffrey Epstein comes and really throws the public off.
Yes. What was EBV? What were you just talking about? What is the cause we think it is? Epstein-Barr infection or Epstein-Barr virus. And it is not indeed an infection by a billionaire who assaulted underage girls and comedian Roseanne Barr teaming up for an unlikely duo.
Yeah, people don't realize that the flu is actually discovered by Dr. Hitler and Dr. Cosby. And because their legacy has aged so poorly, they actually just call it the flu.
Yeah, well, Epstein-Barr, it's interesting. This is one of those ones, kind of like when we talked about HPV that like everybody has or everybody's sexually active. Like Epstein-Barr is incredibly prevalent throughout the population, especially here in the U.S. It was first discovered in the 1960s, and it's one of 9 viruses in the herpes family, which, by the way, I went back and looked at like the different viruses, because when you hear 9 viruses in the herpes family, you're like... That's like when somebody tells you, like, did you know there was 87 X-Men? And you're like, wait, hold on. Wait, let me start counting. I don't know. Okay, 87? Okay, all right.
Yeah,
you start
going, throughout the years, though.
Yeah, you start adding them up. So I was, okay, so you got HSV-1, or HSV-2. Those are pretty common, right? And then you got...
Rogue.
The one that causes shingles. And fuck this one. And then I'm done. I'm out.
You're basically finding out, like, you thought you were living safe in a world with only, like, 3 herpes.
Yeah,
and now you find out that like there's herpes around every corner,
and yeah, incredibly common in humans. In the U.S., half of all kids get it by the age of 5, and 90% of adults have had it. When you're infected as a child, it usually only causes mild or moderate symptoms, like cold-like symptoms. Sometimes no symptoms at all. But if you wait a little bit longer, it gets worse and worse. So like when you get it as an adolescent or young teenager, that's what causes mono or mononucleosis, the kissing disease.
Fun story. There was a mono outbreak in basic training.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's the kiss.
Practicing kissing?
That was the joke. And the thing is, like, I went to the doctor. They were like, this mono outbreak, everybody's getting it. I was like, so I went to sick call, and they sent me home for a week. And, like, that was the joke. Because, like, they sent me home for a week in basic training. So just so I could get tested to be, like, by a real doctor. He was like, you don't have mono. They tested you for antibodies to something, and... You don't have it. But point is, I almost got out of the army for being gay early on.
I was going to say, it was either that or the fact that you thought the kissing disease was genital warts.
I was the only guy in my unit from California. I had to represent.
So yeah, it causes mono, which we all know can be pretty severe, and it can also cause certain types of blood cancers, certain types of leukemias, and can cause some neurological conditions in children. So we've known about Epstein-Barr for about 60 some odd years, and we know that it's very ubiquitous among the population. But now what this article is saying is it is actually the cause of MS. Now that leads a lot of questions, not least of which is, if it's so common, how come only some people have MS, but, you know, 90% of the population has it? And I would remind you that, you know, 95% of the sexually active population has HPV, but only a small number of those people get cervical cancer, even though it is the cause of cervical cancer. So there's something going on in your own body that is a reaction to this. It's not ubiquitous.
As a Christian, I just think that disease-wise, there are a couple of Christ-like people who suffer so the rest of us can have fun. You know, like there's a couple people are up on the cross with cervical cancer so that the rest of us can fuck.
So, Damien, I mentioned that this data set, this huge data set, actually comes from active duty U.S. military. I wonder if you're in the data set.
If you tell me from what year, I could tell you.
They didn't put this in the breakdown of it, but it would be interesting if they also knew that you had Epstein-Barr, but you didn't know. Like, they're like, wait, what? I'm
what? Damn it! They tracked all the guys who kissed in that basic training unit in a longitudinal study. Every good dude who I made out with in that basic training. By the way, we're in a much more accepting time. To even, like, when I served, and with all dudes from the South in Texas, if they even thought you were gay, that was just a hate crime waiting to happen.
Yes.
So the fact that everybody got mono was a real mystery to everybody.
Yeah, mystery.
You can't get it from eating ass. I was told that.
Here's another quote from Science Daily. So what did they do when they were looking at this big data set? The team analyzed serum samples taken biannually by the military and determined the soldiers' EBV status at the time of first sample and the relationship between EBV infection and MS onset during the period of active duty. In this cohort, the risk of MS increased 32-fold. That means 32 times after infection with EBV, but was unchanged after infection with other viruses. Serum levels of neurofilament light chain, a biomarker of the nerve degeneration typical of MS, increased only after EBV infection. The findings cannot be explained by any known risk factor for MS and suggest EBV is the leading cause of MS. That is unbelievable. That means that basically, if you have MS, chances are 32 to 1 that you got it because you had an Epstein-Barr infection. 10 years ago, by the way. It takes on average 10 years for the symptoms of multiple sclerosis to show up after the infection.
So what's with the equator thing? The
virus is less likely to infect you as you're close to the equator. So, like, yeah, it's just one of those.
I thought every virus got worse as you got closer to the equator, but Epstein-Barr is like, the humid air aggravates my gout.
No, viruses, you know, tend to have specific temperature ranges, and it just so happens that, you know, it might not be temperature necessarily. It might be climate, like it might be the area that it likes to live in, whatever it is. It's just not as suitable for them in those environments.
What if it was an aversion to steel drum music? And what if I were to go into some sort of MS hospital ward with a steel drum set and no knowledge of how to play that music? Do you think I could cure at least one person?
From my experience... In, like, Cabo, you could cure them of a nice vacation.
You're welcome. No need to thank me, Howleys. I know they say that in Hawaii.
So how does Epstein-Barr infection lead to MS? Well, we don't know. And if we all get it, why don't we have MS? Again, similar to the HPV thing, we don't know. But it most likely has something to do with the immune response in individual amounts, especially if they get it later on in life. And that means a few things about treatment. One, we should look out for Epstein-Barr infections. Two, we should look out for some kind of long-term thing, specifically after an Epstein-Barr infection, your immune system going after myelin sheaths. And three, it means that we really need to get a fucking vaccine for Epstein-Barr, because it turns out this is a way bigger deal than we thought.
But isn't, I mean, just because we know this now and we're living in the era of mRNA vaccines, I mean, this is, sounds like the end zone's in sight.
Yes, very much so.
It's six and goal.
We didn't even know where the end zone was until this got published, because we didn't know that Epstein-Barr was so important. Up until now, it was just that disease that caused mono.
And almost gets you out of the fucking army, yeah.
Article number two, the pig-hearted.
The pig-hearted? Is this like the American Braveheart? Like, where some guy goes to, like, stand up against tyranny, then just has a heart attack.
It's like the American Braveheart, but it's just a guy who goes from place to place taking those challenges of, like, who can eat a 150-ounce steak.
Oh, no, they say his rascal scooter's coming into town this time, the pig heart. He gets on a bullhorn. Tell Dr. Fauci that he can never take my... God damn it, my heart's hurting.
I heard he's the only guy who has to get a court-approved diesel-powered rascal scooter. It's just not enough torque in the standard models.
Listen, I just need enough fuel and for diesel fuel for this rascal scooter to get me to Austin, Texas, so I can win a chili eating contest against a certain resident.
Oh, dear.
It's hard to do a Texas angry accent now without turning into Alex Jones. I was trying really hard to not.
He's really taken that from all of us.
When I think of all the monstrous things Alex Jones has done.
So this is another one of those really interesting, really big stories. And it's the first ever pig-to-human heart transplant that was performed this week at the University of Maryland Medical Center.
What, did a cop get a transplant? I'm sorry, that's low. That's...
So this builds off the same thing that we reported at the end of last year. It was one of our biggest stories of 2021, which was the genetic engineering of a pig to not display the alpha-gal protein. We've talked about that protein as something that all non-primate mammals display, and our bodies attack it, sometimes in cases of allergies to meat allergies, and in this case, in terms of xenotransplants from one species to another. And so they kind of genetically engineered this pig to not have that particular protein that our body attacks. And then we took the kidney out, and in the case that we talked about, it was actually kind of interesting. They knew that it was just a proof of concept. They couldn't leave it hooked up too long. So they used somebody who had donated their body to science, but their organs weren't viable to be used in other people. So basically their relatives say, use the whole body. And they hooked this pig kidney up to their leg. And then they saw that it worked for 2 days. And then when they were done, they just pulled life support and they terminated the patient. And they had done that actually twice to two different people who were basically brain dead. This is a little different. They used that same technology to create the organ, the pig heart. But this time they put it in somebody who needed a fucking heart transplant. There's actually a funny story as to why. Needed a fucking heart transplant. And he's walking around right now alive with the goddamn pig heart.
Although his family says that sometimes he'll just stop like a walk and just run into the wood and come back with a bunch of truffles.
Yeah. Anytime they go to the zoo and they see the wolf encounter, he frantically runs around and starts gathering bricks.
I need masonry. Meanwhile, his two lazy-ass brothers are grabbing straw.
So how did they choose this guy to be the first ever pig heart transplant? Well, here's a quote. From the Nature article, he'd been on cardiac support for almost 2 months and couldn't receive a mechanical heart pump because of an irregular heartbeat. Neither could he receive a human transplant because he had a history of not complying with doctor's treatment instructions.
Sir, please stop.
Given that he otherwise faced certain death, the researchers got permission from the FDA to give Bennett a pig heart.
You know, we have patients listening to doctors, but... You know, fuck them and the pig heart. Sir, could you please stop training your heart to play Wipeout? It's ruining. We can't get you a mechanical heart.
I want to think of all the different scenarios that he was doing. Like, one is he's just boozing. Like, they tell him to stop. He just keeps boozing and smoking and, like, yelling about how V8s had more power back in his day. Like, he's just got one of those type things. But I'd like to think it's a little bit more involved. Like what are the doctor's orders for heart transplants that you are, like, routinely break? Like, they're like, sir, for the last time, you have a weak heart, and if we give you this other one, you have to promise to stop being the guy at the carnival who takes a slow-motion cannonball to the stomach.
That's what I was doing. Like, he has an OnlyFans channel where he just challenges his heart. Like, he hooks, like, car batteries to his testicles. Today in this is Internet Jackass Heart Challenge.
He's grabbing live electrical lines whenever he sees them.
Yeah, I'm gonna do 30 minutes of cardio and I haven't worked out in 7 years.
Just taking front kicks to the chest from Muay Thai fighters. Like, what? Yeah.
We got Francis Ngannou here.
I also just love the idea that, like, sometimes if you're enough of an asshole, things go your way. Like you said, there was a whole host of people who were doing exactly what their doctor said, who are going to die because of it.
Listen, the Hippocratic Oath could use some amendments.
It has a pig heart exemption.
If the patient's a total dick, you're allowed to give them a little less care, provided that that care would go to a patient who appreciates it.
Or you do it with a hilarious, sarcastic comment.
The doctor couldn't help himself, but he actually subscribes to the OnlyFans because it's just good content.
So it was a successful surgery. That dude's walking around right now. It totally worked. This
taking
is
cannonballs
crazy.
To the chest.
we were discussing this as the next step, the possibility, just a few months ago, and we are here. This is absolutely amazing. And by the way, just a side note, a triumph of genetic engineering. This was genetic engineering at its finest. They had been engineering pigs for 2 decades, testing how various genetic modifications limited rejection in humans and other primates. To make the pig heart used for the transplant, and by the way, this is all a quote from Nature, the company knocked out 3 pig genes that trigger attack from the human immune system and added 6 human genes that help the body to accept the organ. A final modification aims to prevent the heart from responding to growth hormones, ensuring that the organs from the 400-kilogram animal remain human size. Side note, so a bunch of genetic engineering, what's the result? There's a guy walking around right now with a heart that he otherwise could not have had. And, oh, by the way, we might have now hundreds of thousands of hearts to be able to give to people who otherwise would die without them. Fuck you, Greenpeace.
Now, what I pictured as a scientist, as many of our listeners are also scientists, when you were saying, like, tested out three knockout genes, again, mm-hmm. I pictured three pigs, and again, Francis Ngannou walks into the room. Just his specter. You just hear three loud thumps on the ground, and, like, you hear him in his broken English.
I mean, this really is going to be a game changer. Imagine entire farms full of fucking animals that could literally save the life of people who are sitting and waiting for an organ transplant. Like, this is absolutely amazing. This is so crazy, and I wouldn't think at this stage in science that the next advancement is pigs and, like, pig farms. But it turns out that for all the pushes that we do in the field of science and all the discoveries we've made, sometimes just genetically engineering a pig is what it takes to get to that next step, which might be 70, 80,000 people on kidney transplant lists alone surviving. Not to mention heart transplants, lung transplants, which are still a little shady. There's some technical specs on lungs that make them a little difficult. But all of this stuff, we could really just have entire farms full of pigs that are growing organs to save human lives, and that is fucking amazing.
Yeah, but Bobby, pigs are actually really intelligent animals. They experience emotion. You know, ethically, there are some questions here about killing such an intelligent animal, mm-hmm. an animal that may have consciousness as we... So, like, the pig now is waiting for a heart from, I don't know, a dog. And a dog's waiting for one from a cat. And then you go down the line we are sure there's no soul.
Yes. Okay, I like this. There's a mosquito that gets shorted a heart.
Nope. I actually believe that mice don't have a soul. So I think once you get down to the mouth, like, rat, we got to help the rat. But after that, we're done.
There are certainly some ethical issues about the pig thing, but I would use what is known as the Bebop loophole, where if a turtle does the killing of the pig for you, it is just and correct.
Dude, that dude was a punk legend in New York and throughout most of the 90s. CBGBs. If a turtle kills you. First off, Bobby, that cartoon, I can tell you didn't have cable again, because all they did was just beat him really bad with a sword. Knocked him unconscious with a sword. Oh, so you mean he bled out? Like,
also, you don't know the fan fiction porn that I watch. Don't tell me how to live my life.
Bebop was the perfect man.
All right. Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 597, where you learned all about the cause of MS finally being discovered and how we can now transplant pig hearts into human beings. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 598.
Ever since my husband got that heart transplant from that pig, things have been fine. He's been running around okay, but I will say that he has been rolling around in his feces a lot less.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.